I'm reading this morning from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Recently, a listener wrote and requested that I repeat my text. This listener said, I like to follow in the Bible when you're preaching, and when you only give the text one time, I can't find it. So here it is again. I'm preaching this morning from 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Now, here's the subject, and I believe I have a very important subject today. It's entitled, The Chief Cornerstone. The Chief Cornerstone. Now, let me read the text, 1 Peter 2, verse 6. Wherefore, it is written in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or disappointed or put to shame. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Now, my friends, the primary purpose for my preaching in my pulpit, over this television broadcast, in other places, the primary purpose of my preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord is that you might believe on Him. That's why I'm preaching. We preach not ourselves. We seek not to gain a following. We seek not to build a reputation. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. They asked John the Baptist, said, Are you the Christ? He said, No. They said, Then are you that prophet of whom Moses wrote? He said, No. They said, Well, who are you? And he said, I am a voice, just a voice, crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's who I am, a voice. John the Baptist was miraculously born. He was a man upon whom God had his hand. He was sent as the forerunner of the Son of God. But when he was asked to identify himself, he said, I am a voice, and I am sent to proclaim the name of the Lord, to cry, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And my friend, that is the primary purpose for this broadcast, for this preacher preaching to you, is that you might know Christ. The Apostle John summed it up in his epistle. He said this, These things are written. He'd written 21 chapters. And here at the close of the book, he said, These things are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. That's the one object, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through His name. That's, I believe I can say that that's my one objective and my primary goal and mission in life, is that those to whom I preach might know and believe and receive and lay hold upon and embrace by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm deeply concerned about four things in reference to your faith, into your faith in believing in Christ. Four things. I'm concerned about what you believe. I'm concerned about how you believe. Now, I want you to listen to this. I'm concerned about why you believe, and I'm concerned about when you believe. Now, that's simple and very easy to follow. There are four things. I want you to believe on Christ. I want you to believe on Christ. But I'm concerned about four things. What or whom you believe, how you believe, why you believe on Christ, and when. Now, let's look at those four things. The first I mentioned is this. I'm concerned about what or whom you believe. Now, listen to me, and believe me, I'm telling you the truth. It's not simply faith that saves. not simply faith that saves. It's not just faith that brings us into a living union with Almighty God, but it's faith in a person. Now, did you hear that? It's not simply faith that saves. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said in Acts 16, through the Apostle Paul, he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He didn't just say, "Have faith, and you'll be saved." He didn't just say, "Believe, and you'll be saved." He said, "Believe on Christ. Believe on Christ." He said in Romans 10:13, Paul said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And here in 1 Peter 2:6, our text, God said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a chief cornerstone, elect precious, he that believeth on him shall not be disappointed or put to shame." So you see, it matters what you believe. It matters whom you believe. That's what Paul said, "I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he." My confidence is in a person. My faith is in a person. Faith must have an object. It's not faith if it doesn't have an object. Faith is not a general thing. Faith has an object. It reaches out to someone or something. And John said that in 1 John 5, verse 11. "This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. Now he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So that's what I'm saying. I'm interested in what you believe, whom you believe. Faith must embrace a person. It must lay hold on Christ. Our Lord said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might have everlasting life." You see that? What and whom you believe. Now, the second thing that I'm deeply concerned about is this, and that's how you believe. Now, I'm on to something here, and I want you to listen to it. It's whom you believe. It's Christ. He's the object of faith. But the second thing is how you believe. Now, listen to Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord. Now, that's what I said a moment ago. It's whom? It's Jesus to be Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, this thing, how a man believes, is with the heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You see, saving faith is not a historical faith at all. It's not like somebody asks you if you believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States. That's a historical faith. You say, "Well, yes, I believe that. Abraham Lincoln was a president during the Civil War, and John Kennedy was the president who was shot in the early part of the 1960s. That's all historical faith. And that's not saving faith, just to say a person called Jesus Christ lived on the earth and died and was buried and rose again. Satan believes that. That's historical faith. That's not saving faith. Neither is traditional faith saving faith, something that's handed down from father to son, father to son. And it's not just mental agreement to some facts. But this saving faith is a personal, inward, heart faith. Now let me quote that scripture again from Romans 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When Philip was talking to the eunuch, and the eunuch stopped the chariot and said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And listen to what Philip said to it. "Thou mayest, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ." Is this just an emotional fit? Is this just a passing fancy? Is this just a historical, traditional faith? Or do you actually, in your heart, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Has it touched your affections, your inward being? You see what I'm saying? All right, that's the first two things. I said I'm concerned about four things. I want you to know Christ. And I want you to know a person. And I want you to believe on him and receive him and love him in your heart. That's where it takes place. If God has your heart, he has everything. If he has your heart, God can have your money and not have your heart. He can have even some obedience, outward obedience, and not have your heart. But if God has your heart, He has everything. Whoever has your heart has everything. If you love Christ, that's the reason He said the whole law is fulfilled in two words, in one word, two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you have heart love, that's it. And God has your heart. He has everything. So faith is a heart work. Now here's the third thing, third important thing about saving faith, and that's why you believe. Why do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? If you were to ask me this morning, I thought about this question right here. If you were to ask me, preacher, why do you believe so strongly in Jesus Christ? Why do you believe? You know that I do. You know that I do. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He's the only Savior of sinners. I believe my hope for eternal life rests in and upon and through and because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in His perfect life and sacrificial death and intercessory work. I believe that. Now, you ask me why. I'll give you six brief reasons. And this is what I want you to see. First of all, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because I'm commanded in the Bible to believe it. That's exactly right. God commands me in the Bible to believe. He said, "This is my beloved Son." You hear Him. You hear Him. Now, I've heard God's command, and I'm going to hear Him. I'm going to believe on Him. He that believeth not the record that God hath given concerning His Son made God a liar. That's the reason I believe it. I'm not going to make God a liar. Our Lord said, if you believe then not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. So I'm commanded to believe that Jesus is the Christ. I don't fully understand all that's involved in that, but I believe. I like the centurion. I say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Secondly, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, because He fulfills every prophecy and promise in the Old Testament. Every one of them. He's the woman's seed. The woman's seed shall bruise the serpent's head. He's the virgin son. Behold, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son. Call His name Emmanuel. He's the virgin son. He is the seed of woman. He is the seed of Abraham and of Jacob. He's from the tribe of Judah, the family of Jesse, and the family of David, the household of David. That's what the Old Testament says, that the Messiah will come through Abraham, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Jesse, and David. He's the child of Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. That's where the one shall come whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. He's the Holy One of God. Jesus Christ manifests every attribute of God's character. Even the demons said to Him, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Now, I believe that Jesus is the Christ because He fulfills every prophecy and every promise in the Old Testament regarding the Messiah. And then thirdly, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, because He fulfills every type and picture of the Messiah in the Old Testament, from Abel's sacrifice all the way down. In His life, death, and resurrection, He's the Passover lamb. He's the rock smitten. He is the tabernacle in which God dwells, where God meets men and men meet God. He's the priest. He's the mercy seat. He's the brazen serpent lifted up. He's the kinsman redeemer. He's the city of refuge. He's the Lamb of God. All the way through the Old Testament, as the Redeemer is pictured in types and shadows and sacrifices, Jesus Christ fulfills every one of those. He's the Lamb slain. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the Lord our banner. He's the Lord that healeth. Every Old Testament type points to Christ. He's the bread. He's the water of life. And then I believe, fourthly, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because He meets every need the sinner has in reference to God. That's right. The sinner has some needs in reference to God. The law demands that I have a perfect righteousness, which I don't have in the flesh. Well, Christ came down here and performed it and perfected it and worked it out for me. The justice of God demands death. The wages of sin is death. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. Christ died. He meets every need. The presence of God requires a mediator, a great high priest with a suitable sacrifice. Where are you going to find such a one? The presence, the holy presence of God demands that we have a high priest and that that high priest have a perfect sacrifice. Where are you going to get it? Only in Christ. He meets every need that the sinner has in reference to God. And then I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God because He's able to do all that He promised. That's what was said of Abraham. He staggered not. He staggered not at the promises of God. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he believed that everything God promised, God was able to perform. And I believe everything Jesus Christ has promised in His Word, He's able to perform. He said, come to me, I'll give you rest. Look to me and live. He said, come to the water and drink, never thirst again. He promises all these things, and He is able. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. And He's able to keep that which Paul said, I've committed to Him against that day. And He's able to keep us from falling. And He's able to present us faultless. He's the only one who is able to present us faultless before the very glory of God with exceeding joy. And He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like His own. You see, He was victorious over the grave. He's already been there and came out. And He said, because I live, you live. You live. And He's able. I believe that. And then in the sixth place, I believe, listen to me, according to the Word of God, that God hath appointed a day in which He shall judge the world in holiness, in righteousness, by that man whom He hath ordained. That's Jesus Christ. Whereof He hath given assurance to all men in that He raised Him from the dead. Now, I believe that. I believe there's a day coming when God is going to judge the world. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they all, small and great, stood before God. And the books were open. And men were judged out of those things written in the book. And that day's coming and men shall be judged according to and in relationship to that man whom God hath ordained. And He hath given us witness to that fact. He's given us a preview in that He raised Him from the dead. Now here's the fourth thing I'm concerned about. Not whom you believe, that's Christ. And how you believe, that's with the heart. And why you believe, because He is the fulfillment of all things. He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Because the Scripture says, let every word be established at the mouth of two or three witnesses. And He said, the Scriptures bear witness of me. John the Baptist bore witness of me. The works that I do bear witness of me. And the Father hath borne witness of me. That's why we believe. Now, I'm concerned about when you believe. When you believe. In reference to faith, the Word of God uses words like this frequently. Now is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. Listen to this word. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Listen to this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first. Listen to Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. And Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord in reference to unbelief, we persuade men to believe Christ, to believe Christ, to believe Christ now, now. Now, let me have your ear just a moment. Let me talk to you a second. I want to give you two or three things here that I feel most strongly and deeply. My concern, my friend, is not that you make some sort of commitment to me. I never ask you to fill out a card, mail in. I don't even have a phone number at the bottom of this picture to have you call in and tell me anything. I'm not interested in your making a commitment to me or an organization. I don't keep records of how many people were saved, how many people were baptized, how many people made professions of faith. We never use numbers or statistics on this broadcast. I'm not interested in your making a commitment to me or to an organization, but I'm interested in you believing the Word of God. Believing the Word of God. And I'm interested in your embracing by heart faith the Lord Jesus Christ individually, personally, between you and God. Don't call me. I don't need your numbers and names and these things. I want you to know Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, who is Paul? Who is Cephas? Who is Apollos? Nobody. Just a bunch of nobodies. Just ministers by whom you believe. John the Baptist, who are you? Are you the Christ? No. Are you that prophet? No. Well, who are you? I'm just a voice. That's all. Crying, behold, the Lamb of God. And I'm not interested in your making a commitment or making a call. I'm interested in your laying hold on Christ. With your heart, by faith, look to the Son of God. He is the only Savior of sinners. And let me tell you this. I'm not even interested for the moment. Now, don't misunderstand me. Listen to me. I'm not interested for the moment in your making any public commitment and signing up to be a member of any religious denomination. The important thing for you, my friend, is to lay hold of the mercies and promises of God in Christ Jesus. Don't turn to men. Don't turn for advice to men. Don't look to men for counsel. His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God. His name is the Everlasting Father. His name is the Prince of Peace. Turn your eyes to Christ. Turn your ears to His Word. Turn your heart in faith to Christ. Men can't help you here. It's the Spirit of God that convinces men of sin. It's the Spirit of God that turns the heart to Christ. It's the Spirit of God that reveals the Son of God. It's the Spirit of God that grants repentance and leads you to repentance. It's the Spirit of God that gives faith. And I beg of you, quit getting your religion and professions and your assurance and your confidence from the words of men. They can't save you and they can't assure you of salvation. Christ is the Savior. And I'm not interested for the moment in your raising your hand or making any public commitment. It's heart faith that saves. God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the raised hand and the running feet and the energies and activities of men. He looks on your heart. And it's a private thing, but what men can talk you into, another man can talk you out of. That's it. And what men can give you, another man can take away from you. But what God does for you is forever. What God doeth, it shall be forever. What God does in your heart shall be forever. So I beg of you, don't turn to the flesh. Don't turn to the arms of the flesh. Lean not for your strength upon the flesh. Turn your eyes to Christ. Can you do that? And another thing I'm saying is this. I'm not preaching a doctrinal position. I wish the name Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of Christ, Church of God, Nazarene, I wish those names had never come into being. I'm not preaching a religion. I'm presenting a person. A person, the living God manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He said in my text. God Almighty Himself said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. This is quoted from Isaiah. A stone, a tried stone, a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on Him. Not he that joineth a movement, not he that reformeth his life, not he that works in religious circles, not he that wins souls, not he that titheth, not he that keepeth a day, he that believeth on Him shall never be disappointed, shall never be put to shame. There's all kind of religion today. It's all around us and all over us. It's under us and on top of us. It's choking us to death. Somebody said America's got religious indigestion, and I think that's right. It's a whole lot like it was in the days when our Lord walked this earth in the flesh. They kept asking Him questions. One of them said, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? And they settled that. And another one came up and said, well, Here's a man that's had four or five wives. Who's going to be his wife in the resurrection? They got that settled. And another fellow came up and said, well, is it wrong to do this? Is it wrong to do that? Which is the greatest law? Which is the greatest sin? Which is the most important law? And they got that settled and put them to silence. And they started to walk off. And he said, hold on now. I got a question. What think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? And that's my question to you today. I know you got all these issues and all these things you want to settle. And you write, people write to me and they want me to explain something in the Revelation. They want me to explain something about the resurrection. They want me to explain something about the coming of the Lord. I want you to look to Christ. If you miss Christ, you can have all that other information and perish. But if you have Christ, you don't need all that other information. You can leave it all in the hands of Him who is your Lord. He's my Father. He won't fail me. He's my Redeemer. He'll not let me down. He'll not do anything contrary to my good or His glory. I can rest in these. I can rest in the future. I can rest in the past, present, and future, knowing that Christ upholds me with His hand. God said, behold, I lay in Zion. This is God's doing. This is not man's doing. I lay in Zion. He's God's cornerstone. And God said, he that believeth on Him will never be disappointed. Never. There's no judgment to them who are in Christ. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. God said He'll never, never be put to shame. I like that hymn that says, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never, no, never forsake. Can you lay hold on that? Can you look to a person? Why don't you push religion aside and all these voices you're listening to, and won't you listen to God and look to His Son? He said, he that honoreth my Son, I'll honor him. I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone. He that believeth on Him will never be put to shame. He'll never be disappointed. I believe that. Do you? I believe Him. Well, I have this message on a cassette tape. It's called The Chief Cornerstone. And I have one on the other side, a message I'll preach next Sunday. And if you want it, you send $2. That's what it cost us to prepare it and send it to you. Send a $2 donation. We'll mail it to you. Here's the address on the screen. Till next week, God bless you is my prayer.